The middle of Torah Yud Tes and Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 62, the left-hand column, the middle of the column. In this chapter on Likutei Moran, so far, Rabbeinu Zal explained and discussed the difference between hearing a shiur given over in person versus receiving the information second-hand, third-hand, and then going down still further when a person reads from a sefer, how that's considered a much lower level communication than hearing it person to person. And Rabbeinu Zal discussed in very great detail the issue of the concept of klipas noiga, the concept of a total bad, a total good, and an intermediary, something that's like an in-between state from which the total bad is able to gain access to the total good, to the Kedusha. And we discuss the tikkun for that in many different ways, the concept of Targum, the concept of the tikkun for Mikra Laila, and all of those items. Now, we're in the part of the appendixes to this chapter on Likutei Moran, and Rabbeinu Zal adds on some additional pieces of information. Ulahalois hatoiv mena Targum hual yidei tikkun hashgogois. Rabbeinu Zal says that in order to elevate the good that's in Targum, we had explained earlier that Targum represents something that's mixed, good and bad. It's an in-between language. It's not Loshon HaKodesh, which represents pure holiness, and at the same time, it's not really a language of the Goyim, which represents something that's complete negative, complete bad. But rather, it's a language, it's the language of Aramaic, which in a sense is considered to be a language of the Goyim. And on the other hand, we have the Gemara and especially the secrets of Torah that are found in the Zohar HaKodesh and the Kaddish and many other items of Kedusha that are written specifically in Targum. So Rabbeinu Zal says, in order to elevate the good of Targum, hual yidei tikkun hashgogois, that's done by a person correcting their shigogois, the sins that they committed b'shoigeg, by accident. Shetzorech l'saken kol ma shechoto b'shoigeg. A Jew is also required to correct even those sins that they committed by accident. Meaning, Rabbeinu Zal is explaining to us that you should know that within the process of tshuva, generally we understand that a person has to do tshuva, a person has to repent for something that they did wrong intentionally, knowingly. There are people who would assume that if a person did something wrong by accident or out of ignorance of the law, I'm not really considered liable for that, and that doesn't really justify repentance. Whereas in fact, the Torah discusses the fact that if a person wants to be really pure, if a person wants to achieve perfection, or come as close to perfection as a human being can come, it requires even addressing the shgogois. Because a shoigeg represents something that's a combination of good and bad. The intention was good. The fact that the person, chas v'shalom, a person did not know, person woke up accidentally on a Shabbos morning to hear the telephone ringing, and the person was coming out of their sleep, they weren't conscious enough to determine that today is Shabbos, and the person heard the phone ringing, grabbed for the phone, picked it up, started talking, and then in the middle realized that it's Shabbos and dropped the phone. In a situation like that, we could say that the person's kavono was good. Their intention was not to go against Hashem in any way. There was nothing wrong there. But the act itself, the maisa, was ra. So that this is another example of this combination of an eruv, a mixture of good and bad, which even that, Rabbeinu Zal explained in this chapter, when a person wants to achieve shlemus, whether it be shlemus Loshon HaKodesh or shlemus in Tikkun HaBris, it implies even perfecting this mix of good and bad, separating the bad from the good, taking the good and elevating it, bringing it inside the Kedusha, and taking the bad and getting it erased, getting it removed. And here, if you, v'hovein, Rav Nosson Zal adds, v'hovein, and understand this well, take a look at the Aleph, which points you on bottom, Ayin Tehillim, Kapitel Zayin, Shigoyoin Ledovid. Chapter 7 in Tehillim begins with the words Shigoyoin. Shigoyoin Ledovid, And the targum on that word shigoyin is targuma do'idi sola David. In other words, the Aramaic translation for shigoyin is targum. And Rabbi Nazal uses this to prove that both of these are actually the same. That the concept of targum being a mix of good and bad, keneged this klipas noiga, and the concept of a shoigeg, both are the same concept. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds a final appendix. Umi sheyesh loy shleimus loshna kodesh, a person who's able to achieve perfection, completion in loshna kodesh, yoidea lefasher chalmin shebetardemo, will know how to interpret the dreams that come to a person in their intense sleep. Kemo Yosef, like Yosef HaTzadik, for example, Kimavur Hashem, as was explained earlier in this chapter, we know that Yosef HaTzadik achieved Shleimus Loshna Kodesh. We said that when he wanted to reveal himself to his brothers, he said, "Don't you remember? It's me, Ki Pi Hamedaber Aleichem. It's my mouth, your brother Yosef, that's speaking to you." And the Gemara says he said to them, "Look, I can speak Loshen Kodesh," implying that he had this Shleimus Loshna Kodesh. And this was the same Yosef HaTzadik who we find prior to that achieved his greatness by proving that he knew how to interpret dreams. We learned earlier that that a dream is something that's a mix of good and bad. The Gemara says generally there's no possibility of a dream that doesn't have some falsehood in it. Even those dreams that are true dreams generally are a mix of good and bad. The one that's able to interpret dreams, meaning he can sort out, select the good from the bad, is the one who achieved Shleimus Loshna Kodesh, which is gotten by taking the Targum, the mix of good and bad, and sorting that out. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds an explanation, Ki b'chol dovor yesh oisyos kanal. As we learned earlier, each and every single item in creation has letters. When Hashem first created the world, He created it with the Torah, Bo'oiraisa Boro Kutche Brichu Alma, and the Torah consists of the 22 letters of the alphabet. Those were the building blocks of creation. Ukishe Shoichev V'yoshon, and when a person lies down and sleeps, Oilim Ho'edim Mehamacholim She'ochal V'oilim Lahamoyach. What happens is the vapors that are being generated as a result of the food that the person ate that day, after the digestion, we know that there are gases that are released from the food that the person ate, gases or vapors. Those vapors are oilin lahamoyach, they rise up to the brain of the person, venitztarfin hoisyes shiesh bohem, and the letters that were originally found in the food, in a spiritual sense, that this person digested, those letters float up to the brain, and they combine over there. They form different combinations, different words. Umize nase hachaloim. And that's how dreams are generated, from these letters that come from the particles of food that the person ate. Nimtzo kishoot amoichel. Therefore, when a person eats, im hoyo oichel hakaf hasheni koidem arishoim, if a person were to eat the spoon that he ate second, first, if he were to reverse two spoonfuls of what he just ate, it would actually have an effect on his dream where he would see a different dream. That's how connected this process of eating is to the construction of the dreams that are formulated in the person's brain when he sleeps. Because every single item has different letters in it. If the person would eat this spoon first, the letters would form a different set of combinations than they formed when he ate in a different sequence. Again, this could be pictured in a person eating two courses, one before the other, or Rabbi Nazal's breaking it down even further, within a given course of food. A person has a main course of a meat and potatoes and vegetables, and eating one spoonful of vegetables before a spoonful of potatoes or something like that, and that having bearing on the dream that's going to be generated later by the effects of what came from that food. And this would cause a different dream. ומימי שיש לו שלמוס לשנה קודש, הוא יודע האויסיס שיש בכל דבר כנעל. A person who has perfection in Lashon HaKodesh, he knows the letters that are found in a spiritual sense in every single particle of food. Therefore, such a person is qualified to interpret dreams. Based on this explanation, you can understand very well what we learned earlier, the concept of how interpreting dreams is tied into Shleimus Lashon HaKodesh. Al yidei ma shekosav sham achar kach, shal yidei Shleimus Lashon HaKodesh, meirin hisnoitzitzus hoisiyos sheyesh b'chol dovor. We had learned that through Shleimus Lashon HaKodesh, the light that comes, the sparks that are generated from the letters that are found in the food that a person is eating, it's through the sparks of light that are shooting off, that are coming off the ma'acholim, the food items from which the dreams are being generated. This is what gives the tzaddik, who is represented by the concept of Yosef, the power to interpret the dreams that come bitardemo, in middle of sleep. We learned earlier that tardemo is bigimatria targum, which is Aramaic, which is the good and bad, just as sleep has in it this good, positive, and negative effects. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds, ze motzono mi ze hamaymar miksav yad Rabbeinu Zal biatzmoi. This next short paragraph is actually like a memo, a note, within the notes that Rabbeinu Zal himself kept of his shiurim, where Rav Nosson Zal found his notes on this chapter on Likutei Moran, and he found a short piece which he felt was worth attaching for people to get an idea, a glimpse, as to what Rabbeinu Zal's notes on this chapter were. Yishlach Ezrucho Mikodesh, we quoted this pasuk early in the chapter, Goydel Yikar Ho'erech Miloshna Kodesh, the great specialness and importance of Lashon Kodesh, the language of Lashon Kodesh, the Hebrew language, Sheboi Nivra Ha'ilam, with which the world was created, Kamoi Shamru Chazal, as the Gemara says, Lazois Yikore Isha Ki Mei Ish, that the reason why a woman is called Isha is because she was taken from man. Her creation involved a rib being taken from Odom Arishon. Isho implies from Ish. And the Gemara says, Loshoin noifel aloshoin. This implies an extension of the word Ish being brought out to Isho. Mikan shenivra ho'ilam b'loshon HaKodesh. And the Gemara learns out that from this we see that the world was created with Loshon HaKodesh by the fact that the Torah shows the importance of the fact that the name of the woman was given based on how she was created. This name in Hebrew, Isha, was constructed and connected to the manner in which a woman was created, showing that the creation was done through the Hebrew language. Ki ho Isha hu bechinas loshna kodesh, sheboi nivra olam, because woman, the woman represents the concept of the Hebrew language with which the world was created. Vizehu Chavo, this is why the first woman that was ever created was called Chavo Loshen Dibur. The word Chavo in Hebrew represents speech. Kamo shekosuv v'laylo lelaylo yechave doas. The night communicates to another night wisdom. Yechave means to speak. It speaks forth its wisdom. Vizeh bechinas lezois yikore isha, ki hadibur nikra zois. This is why the pasuk says lezoisi koreisha. This was called a woman. The word zois, which means this, is also used in the Torah, referring specifically to speech. Kamoishikosu vezois asher diber lohem aviem. This is what their father told them, spoke to them. So we see that zois is dibur, zois is isha. Women represent dibur. The Gemara says in Brochos, noshim dab. Roni is saying that women are known for their quantiful speech. And we know that it's specifically through Hashem blessing us with the Hebrew language, giving the Jewish people Loshna Kodesh. With that, he elevated us above all other nations, above all other tongues. V'ze b'chinas loshon noifel al loshon. This is where the Gemara also says that a language falls through a language. Kol halashonos noiflim al yidei loshon hakodesh. That all the other languages, which represent the other nations of the world, all of them are brought down, are made subservient through the loshon hakodesh, through the holy language of the Jewish people. V'ein ad kan motzonu. And obviously, Rabbi Nizal's notes were cut off at this point. Rabbi Nizal says he didn't find the continuation of his notes on this chapter. Pirka Tinyono de Safra de Snusa, Mavura Le'el, Bahatoira, Emoira Le Kahanim. Being that these chapters on the Likutei Moran that we're doing now are supposedly following the sequence of a certain section in the Zohar HaKadosh called Safra de Snusa, the hidden sefer, this chapter, Yud Tes, was based on the first chapter of Safra de Snusa. The next chapter on Likutei Moran that we're going to have, Torah Chof, is based on the third chapter of Safra de Tznusa. There is a different chapter on Likutei Moran, which is chapter 2 in Likutei Moran, which addresses the second chapter of Safra de Tznusa. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? If a person will go back, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, at some future time, and review this chapter on Likutei Moran and go over it slowly the second time, third time, you'll see how the connections are perfect and how this chapter really gives a person a lot of very critical, basic knowledge in Judaism, in how Hashem constructed the world, in the concept of the relationship between the Jews, the non-Jews, and the in-between, those non-Jews that are capable of becoming Jews, the concept of Gerim that we discussed earlier, the concept of Loshon Kodesh versus Targum versus other languages, and many other things that were addressed in this chapter. Baruch Hashem.
As far as the inyan of hearing directly, the difference between hearing directly and hearing from somebody who heard it on reading, when Bnei Yisrael got the Torah, they couldn't stand hearing it directly. They had to hear it from somebody you heard it from. But also, when you hear it directly, you hear it once, but you don't understand it. You don't really understand it. But when you go to a book and you go into the book and you read it, you learn it once, twice, three times. Every time you learn it, you get more and more understanding. So why does he say that? Why does Rabbi Nachman say that? Because when you learn from the tzaddik and from the original source,
advantage better. The answer is here. He explained two specific reasons. He proved how, in terms of holiness, you can't compare what you're going to get from looking at a piece of paper to what you're going to get from looking at the face of a chacham, of a tzaddik. And he explained what that face consists of and how it became such a face, etc. That was one item. Then he explained also the significance of Loshon HaKodesh, the Dibur specifically, Chavo, Dibur, Loshon Kodesh, Loshon Neufel HaLoshon. In other words, in this chapter he was out to really express the benefits of hearing it, how there are certain hidden pluses that you might not even imagine. A person doesn't know what happens to his neshama, how much his neshama could be changed, modified, by sitting and hearing the dibur of a tzaddik. There is a concept of certain people who hearing something once, in terms of on a simple basic level, is nowhere near as good for them as being given the opportunity to either hear it a few times or read it a few times. We're aware of that. And again, there are benefits to that. Today Hashem has blessed us with tape recorders and videos where there's even a potential to recreate hearing what was said, hearing the verbal statement, and even seeing the one that was saying it again, repeating it again. These are marvels, you know, that have been provided for us today specifically for this purpose, to elevate our limud of Torah. But on the other hand, certain advantages of being present in the room at the time that the tzaddik is speaking his diburim of Torah set it way apart and above in effects on the neshama. And we know this to be a fact. We know that there are cases, you can ask some of your friends, or you might have heard this already, of people who attended a lecture, a shir, given by a Talmud Chacham Amiti, a tzaddik, somebody of that caliber, where the one shear had much more of an effect on their lives or on their families' lives than hundreds or thousands of pages that they read. And again, obviously, there's more to it than meets the eye. Baruch Hashem. With this, we conclude this chapter on Likutei Moran.